T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dustin Johnson right now with a 4-shot lead at the U.S. Open. We're watching the likes of Jordan Spieth and Phil Mickelson try to stay near the cut line and survive to the weekend this afternoon. We'll keep an eye on that for you. And we're going to get to Thomas Davis, Carolina Panthers linebacker, coming up. Said some interesting things yesterday. 844-477-3776 is our phone number. Well, let's go to the phones and talk to Jimmy next. Jimmy, welcome in.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going well. What's up?
All right. Well, you know, I was listening to Dan Levitard this morning, and I hear people talking about Golden State being a super team. It's not fair. But, you know, look at this. Three of their big four were their draft picks. The only one of the big four that was a free agent is Kevin Durant. Now, if you were Kevin Durant, would you have wanted to share the ball with Russell Westbrook? I mean, and then I just got through here in the Sports Center while I was on hold, and they were talking about Russell Westbrook and LeBron James together.
Yeah.
That would be a disaster, man. I mean, look, I mean, Kyrie Irving wanted to get out of there. He knows that LeBron wants the ball. I mean, there wouldn't be enough basketball for Russell Westbrook and LeBron James. But the main reason I call is I get sick of hearing about Golden State being a super team. I mean, Abdul-Jabbar went to the Lakers and all that, and nobody made a big deal of that. And, I mean, he is like one of the greatest players of all time in basketball. I mean, he's the leading scorer in the NBA. And I didn't hear all the crap that I hear about Kevin Durant going to Golden State. But would you have wanted to play with Russell Westbrook as much as that guy wants the ball?
No, probably not. Did you hear the news today, Jimmy, though, that Kawhi Leonard is interested in going to the Lakers? And, of course, they've talked about Paul George and LeBron going there as well. Is there enough basketballs going around for those guys? They'll probably share the ball well, right?
And that would really be a super team right there if you took all the stars from those other teams. I mean, and then look what LeBron did going to Miami with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. You know, I just really get tired of hearing about Golden State. I mean, they play great fundamental basketball. They pass the ball around. Those guys, if they wanted to, they could be LeBron James or Russell Westbrook and want the ball all the time. But they play together as a team. That's why Golden State is so successful.
Appreciate it, Jimmy. Thanks for the call. 844-477-3776. A little more on that from Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski. He's talked to sources and says that so far Kawhi Leonard has expressed nothing directly to the Spurs about his future. The Lakers and the Clippers interest Leonard. Both teams would move quickly to assemble packages to acquire him. The Spurs won't rush. Leonard and his camp had shown interest in a $219 million Supermax deal. $219 million. The numbers are just, you know, mind-boggling in the NBA right now, but that's where we are. So interesting developments today, but it looks bad for Kawhi Leonard staying at San Antonio as of right now.
And as the numbers are increasing so much, it pinpoints back to 2014. That's when the NBA signed their $24 billion media deal for the TV rights.
Yep.
And that has created this problem where all of a sudden you had this huge revenue injection and this big spike in the salary cap. You know, it went from $70 million to $94 million, which is a 34% increase basically overnight in 1 year. And that type of increase, it took 10 years before that to have a 34% increase. So when you had that type of influx, that's why you see all of these salaries so high. It's going to level off in terms of guys it's not going to increase that much over the year, but the ceiling has, I mean, the level has been set, so to speak, and it's almost an artificial level so fast because of that huge injection of revenue based on the TV deal.
Yeah. All right, Panthers linebacker Thomas Davis met with the media yesterday, and it's kind of interesting. He's not backing off of his assertion that his four-game suspension for violating the performance-enhancing drug policy was over a substance he has been taking for years without penalty. Here's some of what TD said to the media. Somebody asked him, you know, what do you say to kids right now when they come up to you and you know that you're suspended for four games this coming season for PEDs? Here's what TD had to say about that.
I tell the truth. You know, I'm open and honest with kids about it. You know, it was definitely something that was unintentional. It wasn't something I was doing deliberately. Sometimes in life, things happen that are totally out of your control. And when you are using a substance or you're taking something that you've used for a long, long period of time, you don't expect it to be any different results. And unfortunately, I had a different result that last time I used it than I did the other 8 years that I've used it. So you don't sit back, you don't dwell on it. You deal with it and you keep it moving, and that's what I've done in this situation. You know, it's tough for me to potentially be in the last season of my NFL career to be faced with a four-game suspension, but, you know, I'm just going to take it in stride, take advantage of the time that I do have out here with my teammates. In the OTA minicamp process, we're going to go to training camp, we're going to have a good camp, and just looking forward to doing that. And, you know, once the four games start, I'll sit back. You know, the league kind of got over on me a little bit with the schedule, so I have a couple of extra weeks to continue to get better as a person.
What about the support from your family and teammates about that?
The support from my family, my teammates, the community has definitely been huge. I think when you set a standard of always doing things the right way, I think people understand and know that it wasn't intentional. And that's kind of the reaction that I've got from a local standpoint, and I couldn't be more excited to know that people understand and believe in me.
Did you have conversations with the manufacturer that sounds like, you know, the tainted?
Yeah, I've had several conversations with them, and, you know, they've went over and over and tested products. And the way things work when you have situations like that, it's important to be able to test and review the product that you're actually taking. With the way the NFL drug testing policy is set up, you really don't find out as a player until about a month or two after you've actually failed a test. So it's hard to go back and test that particular product that you've taken. So it's, I mean, you know, not standing here saying that it's the league's fault that I don't know what product it was in. Ultimately, like I said in the video that I made, we're responsible for what we put in our body as players, and that's something that I have to know. But at the same time, you don't have an opportunity, really, with the way the appeals process is set up. You have to produce evidence that shows that, you know, you have cause for an appeal. And if you don't know what it was in, you really can't submit that product. So, I mean, that's just really the situation that I was put in. And like I said, it's something that you learn from and you just keep it moving.
Are you still taking it?
No.
You have to replace him. Well, no, I know. I was about to say, is that a dumb question? But you've taken it for so long. So are you trying to replace it with something else?
Obviously, you try, but the league has stuff that's in place that's they call safe for us. It's NSF certified, so it's important for us to continue to utilize those products. And even with utilizing those products, they still explain to you that you're still responsible for what you put in.
Still taking it, TD? Yeah, man, I pound it every day. What's the problem?
It's been helping me for 8 years, so why stop now?
So maybe I missed it. Did he say what the product was?
No, he doesn't know.
He doesn't.
He doesn't know because...
Well, if he's been taking something for 8 years, then he knows what that is. Why don't we know what that is?
Well, he's been taking a bunch of things. He doesn't know which one it is. That's what I heard him
saying. It's a combination of a bunch of different things. Okay.
Well, he can't isolate it, at least yet. So he can't appeal it because he can't isolate what it was that caused it to trip and give him the positive test.
Yeah, well, and it sounds like, though, he has been talking to a manufacturer, though.
Yeah.
So is there an aspect that he thinks he knows what it is, and there could be a situation, did the manufacturer change their formulation?
Could be.
And that's what he's trying to figure out. Yeah. And I think there could be some validity to that, because I have seen where these nutraceutical companies, they do change their formulas from time to time.
Right. Maybe.
What was he taking it for, and what was it supposed to do?
That still hasn't been
discussed.
These
are things that I want to know.
Yeah. He hasn't said.
I would imagine it has something to do with some type of helping recovery.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's 35 years old, and so, you know, it's probably not just to bulk up.
No, I don't think so.
Well, people have wondered for years how he recovered from the knee stuff, so maybe now we know, or we don't know what it is, but it was something.
Something he's been taking a long time. That's what he says. The other interesting thing that TD said, though, was that he is, quoting here, very open to the possibility of playing in 2019. So that's a change. Did this make that decision for him put it back on the table, missing four games?
Yeah, because now he's looking at his calendar, seeing that, you know what, I'm only playing 12 games at best.
Well, I think it's more a legacy thing. He doesn't want to go out with a tainted year. Mm-hmm. So if he comes back and plays an entire year, it would feel better for him retiring.
He said, looking at the OTAs, and they just completed a three-day minicamp, the Panthers did. He said, I have proven without a doubt that I can still come out and play the game. I'm out here running around, moving just as fast as any of our young guys. How the young guys feel about that? He said, that's how I judge myself. When we bring new people in, how do I stack up against them? And he's seeing, at least in his mind, that he stacks up well against them still. So he's considering coming back for another year after that. 35, you know, look, Julius Peppers has proved you can play a lot longer than that, right?
Well, and it's easy for him to say that right now.
Yeah, end of the year, how does it
feel? Exactly. Let's get through the season, see how banged up he is and how much he wants to continue. Again, it's the off-season type of things that's what typically has these guys move on from their playing career is all the work that you have to do in the off-season. Not during the season. It's not the games. It's all the preparation and behind-the-scenes work that you have to put in to be ready for the upcoming season. That's the most difficult part for these guys as they age.
From what we've seen of him on the field, though, he doesn't look to have slowed down. I mean, he's still going crazy to the ball at all times, and has his productivity dropped off that you can tell?
Still playing at a pretty high level. Save the question, because we'll ask you what you think about his chances that he returns as part of our three questions segment coming up. Will Thomas Davis actually play beyond 2018? He had said that this would be his last year, but seems to be having a change of heart after his four-game suspension was announced earlier this year to start the season. All right, 844-477-3776. If you want to call in, talk to us in the huddle on ESPN Upstate, text line 71307. I got some Gamecock baseball news. They're losing a couple of players early. And also some suspensions, Wake Forest football to tell you about. We'll get to it coming up. Stay with us, the Friday Huddle, as we roll on this afternoon on ESPN Upstate. So if you picked Wake Forest to win the ACC in football this year, you might want to adjust your pick. All of you, raise your hand. You did, Richmond?
No, I'm keeping my hand down. And I'm having to use my right hand to keep my left hand down, so I don't raise my hand.
Their quarterback, Kendall Hinton, projected starting quarterback, along with tight end Thomas Cole, has been suspended for the first three games of the year. That was announced yesterday. Violation of team rules, so we don't know what. I think I'm in favor of a new NCAA guideline. Can't get away with just saying violation of team rules. You got to tell us what it is. I mean, because you just think, all right, what was that? What did he do?
Yeah, but at some point when they start disclosing, you may want to go back to, you know what? I really did not want to know that.
Yeah. Hinton is a redshirt junior. He has four career starts, so not a lot of experience there, but he was going to be the guy. You know, John Wolford's gone. He was a four-year starter at quarterback at Wake Forest. So Hinton was the projected starter this year. Thomas Cole, the tight end, redshirt sophomore, he played in three games last year. Dave Clawson, the coach, said the players made poor decisions, and they take responsibility for their actions. So here's the good news for Wake Forest. The three games to start the season, now sort of good news, Tulane, Towson, and then Boston College. Boston College won't be easy.
Yeah, Boston College is going to be good.
Yeah.
Or a solid team.
So Clemson should not be affected. They don't play them until October sometime, right?
Let me see. I'm looking.
Yeah, October 6th, that Wake Forest. So they should be back for the Clemson game. But, look, I mean, who's to say that Kendall Hinton gets the job back if he missed the first three games? And they got to start working out these backups more for fall practice fast.
Very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they haven't already.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they've given them some work, but I know they have a couple of young guys that are supposed to be pretty decent behind them. But Kendall Hinton will not start the first three games, at least, for Wake Forest this coming college football season. Got a couple of – South Carolina just made a nice run in baseball, got to the Super Regionals, came up one game short of the College World Series. I got a couple of guys leaving the team, and, you know, at least one of them, pretty big name, didn't play a lot this year, but that's Kyle Jacobson, an outfielder. He and catcher Elijah Bowers will transfer out. Jacobson was a perfect game All-American, 6-foot, 180-pounder. He picked South Carolina instead of the major leagues. He had overtures from a number of major league teams coming out of high school. He was taken in the 33rd round of the 2017 Major League Baseball draft, but had decided to come to college. And he didn't get much action with the Gamecocks. Mark Kingston went with a veteran group of outfielders to start the season. T.J. Hopkins in center field. Of course, Carlos Cortez and Jacob Olson played in the outfield as well. Jacobson struggled to break his way into the lineup as a true freshman. Started seven games, had a .158 batting average with a .289 on-base percentage. Six walks, 16 strikeouts, and 38 bats over the course of the year. Jacobson will transfer to a junior college. That destination has not been determined. He didn't even make the trip to the Super Regional. He traveled with the team on road trips the entire season, and he did play a good bit in the Georgia series and the Kentucky series, but left it home for the Super Regional trip to Arkansas. So that opens up some room in the outfield. Hopkins is back for his senior season, as is Olson. Cortez expected to go on to play professional baseball and sign a contract with the New York Mets. They drafted Cortez in the third round. So, you know, some consider that a significant loss for the Gamecocks, but they do have a good bit of talent coming back. So Kyle Jacobson and Elijah Bowers, catcher and an outfielder, will be heading out of South Carolina and will not be back with the Gamecocks for the upcoming 2019 season. And Texas Tech, back to football briefly here. Texas Tech has dismissed a wide receiver. Quan Shorts kicked off the team. He was arrested for marijuana by Lubbock, Texas police. Officers were at an apartment complex as part of an investigation yesterday afternoon. Shorts was arrested. They have not provided details on what happened, what prompted his arrest. He's still in jail. After about 2 hours after the arrest, Cliff Kingsbury, the coach at Texas Tech, announced that he'd been dismissed from the team and that the university would have no further comment on it. He's 6'2", 205-pound junior. He caught 9 passes for 109 yards and 2 touchdowns in 2017. He started in 4 of the 13 games that he played. So there's lots of off-field stuff going on this time of year, and that's some of it affecting Texas Tech there. So I wanted to pass that along to you as well. And then from the NBA, Bendardrick, always have trouble with that name. McKinney, I don't have trouble with that name.
I hope not.
Inside linebacker for the Houston Texans. He has a 5-year, $50 million contract extension. $21 million is guaranteed. Was the second-round pick in 2015, played a major role in the defense. In 2016, had a really good year, 129 tackles and 5 sacks. General manager of the team, the Texans, said that McKinney plays a key role in their defense, been highly productive, more importantly, a core player who's developed into a team leader, and they're excited to have him part of the long-term future. He'd been praised for his leadership and production. Texans expect McKinney to have an even bigger role in 2018 because they cut Brian Cushing in February. So they need more out of him. Before signing McKinney, the Texans had more than $35 million in cap space. Now, this could affect Jadeveon Clowney. Again, the general manager said they're pretty optimistic that they will be able to sign him to a long-term deal before the season starts. So keep an eye on that. Texans are an interesting story going into the season. You got Deshaun Watson, you got Clowney, you got Watts, and it's going to be interesting to see if they take that step. They've got enough talent to take a step, right? They should be able to.
The key is obviously what we talked about yesterday is just health. Can they stay healthy? And there's still a lot of questions centered around that. Obviously on the defensive side as well with J.J. Watt. I mean, he seems to be getting hurt every year.
Yeah, he does. They only won 4 games last year. Ugh.
Yeah, and I think they had 3 wins with, was it 3 wins with Deshaun out of those 7?
Sounds about right. I know they lost some close ones with him, but he played well.
Yes.
But, yeah, they didn't do much last year. And they will open up, let's see, regular season, they get to start with the Patriots. How about that? In New England on September 9th.
Yeah. And I do remember that Deshaun and the Texans did lose the game last year against the Patriots.
Yeah, but it was a fun game.
Yes, it was.
Interesting stuff there. All right, we got to take another break here. 844-477-3776. The text line is 71307. We'll update the leaderboard at the U.S. Open when we come back. Stay with us in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Appreciate you hanging out with us today in the huddle. If you want to get on board with us, phone lines are open at 844-477-3776. The text line is 71307. Use the keyword ESPN at the beginning of your text message at ESPN Upstate on Twitter. Don't forget about the radio.com app, too. That's the official new home of ESPN Upstate on your phone. Download radio.com app. Make us your favorite, ESPN Upstate. Then you can listen to us anytime, anywhere. Very easy to use. And once you've searched for us once and found us and hit the favorite button, you get it to pop right up when you open up radio.com, the place to take us along with your smartphone here in the huddle and all of our programming on ESPN Upstate, which tonight includes baseball, the Cubs, and the Cardinals. 7:30 is the airtime for that one here on ESPN Upstate. Nobody's making up any ground on Dustin Johnson this afternoon so far. There's a ways to go. Some of these guys are on the front nine. But Dustin Johnson is at 4 under par. He shot a 67 today at Shinnecock Hills Golf Club in Southampton, New York. And so he's 4 under with the minus 3 today. Ian Poulter is headed to hole number 4. He's in second place, but he's plus 1 for the day. He's even par for the tournament. So he's 4 shots behind in second place right now at the Open. And Tommy Fleetwood had a very good round today with a 66. So he's minus 4 today, but he's plus 1 for the tournament. So he's 5 shots back. As is Henrik Stenson, Justin Rose, Charlie Hoffman, and Charles Howell III, all at plus 1. So they're all 5 shots back. Russell Henley is at plus 2. Scott Piercy was up there pretty close earlier. He's now plus 3 for the day, plus 2 for the tournament. So he's losing ground. Paul Casey at plus 2. At plus 3, you've got Ricky Fowler. He's even par for the day. He had a 73 yesterday. So he is, 7 shots back? I mean, who's going to make a run? Furyk is plus 4. He's already finished with his 71 for today. Justin Thomas is plus 4. Jason Duffner is 4 over as well. Zach Johnson is 4 over. Patrick Reed, the same, 4 over. The group that's plus 5 includes Mark Leishman. No, I'm sorry, he's plus 4. At plus 5, you got Brendan Still. Oosthuizen is there. Plus 6, you got Xander Schauffele. Schauffele is the rookie of the year, and he's been playing well this year. So, you know, he has not had the sophomore jinx that a lot of golfers have, but he's not making a run today. He had a 74 today, so he's at plus 6. Now, the cut line has moved up to plus 7. So what does that mean? Well, it means guys like Matt Kuchar are above the cut line for the moment. And it's probably going to go up, not down. So Kuchar is probably in pretty good shape, although he's only on hole number three, so he could blow up before then. Koepka, defending champion, is at plus +7, so he's right now above the cut line.
I need a bunch of guys to really blow up. I need that cut line about plus +12.
You still thinking about Tiger?
Yes.
You stop thinking about Tiger. You might as well stop.
Yeah, I think that's out.
Yeah, guys right now above the projected cut of plus +7 include Steve Stricker at plus +8. Brant Snedeker is there at plus +8. Jimmy Walker's at plus +8. At plus +9, Lucas Glover, and he's finished for the day. So, I mean, look, it could move up two more shots and he could make it. That's possible at plus +9. Not your guy Tiger, though.
No. Even to go to plus +9, I mean, you'd have to have a lot of guys really start struggling.
Yeah, that could happen, though, because of this course and the way it's playing. I wouldn't be shocked if it moved. And that's where Spieth is. Spieth's at plus +9. Mickelson's at plus +9. And I guess they're playing together because they're both headed to number 4. So Spieth and Mickelson need some help at plus +9 with a projected cut at plus +7. But they're both in the early part of the play today, so they have a chance to try to move up. Let's see. You got Tiger Woods at plus +10. Yeah. Yeah, Tiger had a 72 today, not terrible. But the 78 yesterday would appear to have done him in. Same thing for Charles Schwartzel. He's at plus +10, and he's still out on the course, only on hole number 4. So it's been tough for him so far. Bubba Watson is on hole number 5 at plus +11 for the tournament. It's been a while since Bubba did much, right?
It really has.
If you thought, I mean, McIlroy hasn't been as bad so far today as he was yesterday, but he's lost one more shot. He was plus +10 yesterday. He's added one to that. He's plus +11 now, headed to hole number 4. So McIlroy's in trouble for the weekend.
Kevin, hey, it's improvement for McIlroy.
Yeah, I mean, he's settled down a little bit at least. Yeah. You can give him that.
Exactly.
Jason Day plus +12. Adam Scott plus +13. Sergio. Remember when Sergio was the top of the leaderboard for a couple of minutes yesterday? Not anymore.
Yeah, I think that was just hole number 1, right?
Well.
He was.
Yeah. Very early.
He birdied hole number 1, and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, he finished with 75 yesterday, and he had a 79 today. So Sergio's not going to make it. He's at plus +14. Kyle Stanley, Clemson guy, plus +14. Same scores as Sergio, 75 and 79. John Rahm, plus +15.
I thought Rahm was going to actually use a club and hit his bag yesterday when he missed a shot. Yeah, he looks like a hothead to me. Looks like he has a temper, and he was close. It was like one of those Tiger swings where you've seen Tiger in the backswing just all of a sudden stop as he's coming down.
Yep.
That was basically what it was with Rahm. I mean, he brought it back, and then as he was coming on the downswing, he stopped before he hit his bag.
Somebody make some noise or something?
No, he just hit a bad shot, and he was mad.
Oh, after the shot.
After the shot, yeah. Yes.
Got it. Hey, you know, we told you yesterday that Scott Gregory shot a 92. Would you go back out today if you shot a 92?
Yeah, redemption. Please tell me he shot like a 76.
He's only on hole number 8, and today Scott Gregory is 2 over. So he's plus +24.
Yeah, but you're talking about improvement.
He's settled down some, yeah. That's better. Yeah, I can go back out there too. What the heck? Playing a nice course, if impossible to score on.
Isn't that why you go back out there to play golf? As it is. It's that chance.
Well, I mean, if I shot a 92, I'd say, hey, man, that's
great. I know. That's a good day.
Let's go.
The thing about it, there's no pressure on him. There's no way he's getting back in. Just go out there and have fun.
Yeah, just go out there and chop it around. That's what some guys are doing.
Yeah, play a real good course.
Man, have you seen some of that rough, how high some of it is?
I know yesterday Dustin Johnson was in there, and he had to have help from a gallery of people trying to find the ball in the rough. And the people watched it go in there.
Yeah.
I mean, they saw exactly where it was, and they still couldn't find it.
Yeah, kind of difficult. I saw somebody try to chop one out, and the ball never moved today. I don't remember who it was, but
I've had those type of situations where I've done that.
Oh yeah, sure.
Looks like some dark clouds on there right now.
Well, it was raining this morning, and that means the course is probably still a little bit wet. Stopped raining, but yeah, there's clouds there and could start back up, I guess. But that slowed the greens down a little bit, which, you know, made them hard to read, but it might have helped a little bit because balls are rolling right off of those greens. Left and right a little bit earlier. So Spieth getting ready to hit a shot, second shot on number four, and he is plus nine for the tournament. Yeah, Spieth has had some trouble. So we're going to have a major here with Dustin Johnson. At the moment, the only big name near the top of the leaderboard. We'll see if the South Carolina guy can hang on. We've got a lot of golf left here, but he's done for the day with a minus four, so that's a good shot. 844-477-3776. We will come back with more in a moment. Three questions at three coming up right after the top of the hour break. Still to come, we're going to hear from John Harbaugh on Lamar Jackson, the former Louisville quarterback, now with the Ravens, how he's doing. That's all ahead. Stay with us. The Friday afternoon edition of The Huddle rolls on from ESPN Upstate. Ronaldo gets a goal. Portugal leads Spain in the FIFA World Cup at halftime. I'm assuming that HT stands for halftime in soccer. I'm making an assumption there. 2-1, Portugal.
Can there be a half? There's three quarters. How can there be a halftime?
There's not three quarters.
No.
There's two halves.
Not in soccer.
I'm thinking
you're back
golf.
To hockey now. Not golf.
Not golf.
I'm going back to sleep now.
Yes, he is.
All right, so Portugal up 2-1, and Ronaldo, now maybe he can have a good tournament and get some more money to pay his tax fines, yeah. Right? Has he got like $21
million? $21 million yeah. Fine. Ugh. Or I guess once you include the back taxes that is owed, basically I guess roughly maybe $17 million. And that's in U.S. dollars, so whatever.
But he makes $90 million a year, so he's all
right. $93 million a year. I think he's okay. But
you would think he would pay his taxes, right?
That's my point. How do you get in that situation in the first place?
Bad.
I mean, it's you're that high of exposure.
It's accountants. You have accountants to take care of that. Yeah, and you assume that they're doing their job, maybe.
But some people are more aggressive than others in trying to shield their money from taxes. And, you know, I don't know if he or his accountant was that way, but they were obviously a little too aggressive.
And my stance is I'm all about tax avoidance.
Yeah.
But not tax evasion.
Well, there is a difference, yes.
There is a difference, and that's what's happening is that these guys are just simply evading their responsibility of paying taxes.
But, I mean, it's true. When you make $90 million and you think, I got to pay how much in taxes? I don't want to do that. What can we do? And if you get the wrong accountant, they'll tell you some things you really probably shouldn't do. That happens all the time.
I know.
You think you're rich enough that you just pay everything, but it doesn't really work that way.
I know, but you would think, though, too, that because they earn so much, those are going to be the first people that the government's going to be looking at. Did those people pay their taxes?
Right. Yeah.
That's a lot of money to come
every
in.
Year, right?
Yeah.
You would think. 844-477-3776. Let's talk to Delvin next in the huddle. Delvin, welcome in. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
We're doing well, Delvin. What's up?
Kawhi Leonard, come on, he wants out of San Antonio and go to the Lakers. He just gave the Spurs the advantage because they know what team you want to go to. If I'm the Spurs, I'm asking for everything. You want how bad do you want Kawhi Leonard? We want Kyle Kuzma, Julius Randle, and we want Brandon Ingram. Two out of the three or all three. It's your choice.
I saw where Doug Gottlieb said that they're more likely to trade Brandon Ingram than Kuzma, which is kind of surprising to me.
No, if I'm the Spurs, he don't give the Spurs the advantage. He told them what team you want to go to.
Yeah.
And if you want them bad enough, give me either two out of the three. I want all three of them.
Well, they got to have somebody left to play with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and LeBron.
If you want Kawhi Leonard that bad, two out of the three or all three of them.
All right. All right. Play the hard.
He just gave the Spurs the advantage right there.
Well, I mean, I don't think he said it. I think sources are saying he likes. He likes
well, they
LA.
Know what team. Well, he just told him what team you want to go to. He just get a spread of red around Brett Popovich. Don't say you want to go, and they want you better know. That's what we want.
All right. Got it, Delvin. Appreciate that. Yeah, in case you missed it, Kawhi wants out of San Antonio. And the reports are that he has his eye on the Lakers. We'll see if it turns out that way. I mean, look. I mean, there's a story about Boston being interested too, right?
Why wouldn't they? I mean, I think that a lot of teams are obviously going to be interested if there is a crack
I've also seen the Knicks, too.
Knicks, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, who wouldn't want Kawhi?
Yeah, and I think it would be more of a situation that in terms of who the Spurs would want, I think the Spurs would want Brandon Ingram. He's got more upside than
that's what I'm saying.
Kuzma.
Yeah. I think Gottlieb was saying that Kuzma's just kind of a fighter and gritty and that they love him there and all that stuff, but I would want the better player. I would want to keep or get Brandon Ingram. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I don't think the Lakers would be able to keep Brandon Ingram from a trade perspective for Kawhi Leonard. I think the Spurs would demand somebody like Brandon Ingram to be part of the deal.
Yeah. Did you see the story about Oklahoma State and their athletic director and what he said about their football coach, Mike Gundy? Mike Holder, the athletic director at Oklahoma State, was appearing on a podcast this week. He praised Mike Gundy's success, but he says, well, he needs to do a little more in recruiting. Here's the quote. He's really matured into a difference maker as a coach. I would approach recruiting a little differently than he does. That's your AD. I mean, think about D-Rad saying, you know, Dabo's good, but I'd like him to change his approach on recruiting. I mean, is that all right? You want your AD saying that? Even if he thinks it and he tells him that, do you want him saying that on a podcast?
Not publicly, exactly.
Yeah, I thought that was a little weird. Holder went on to say, I want to finish higher in those recruiting rankings than we consistently do. I think that ultimately puts a ceiling on what you're able to achieve. Yeah, Oklahoma State's not at the top of any recruiting rankings. Never have been, right?
No, they haven't. And, hey, Mike, you have to understand that also it's Oklahoma State. There's already an inherent limit for recruiting that's put on the university itself. Just by it being Oklahoma State, sorry, that's just the reality of it.
Yep. They finished 32nd in ESPN's recruiting rankings for 2018. Previous classes, 35th, 46th, 34th, 28th. I mean, they're around 30 to 40 every year. And yet, they've had three consecutive 10-win seasons, six 10-win seasons in the past eight, six AP top 20 finishes since 2010. So you might want to say, hey, you've done a heck of a job, dude, instead of saying, you need to get up the recruiting rankings a little more.
Yeah, but is he also basically saying that he knows it's going to take talent to do what? And that's win championships.
Mm-hmm.
Conference championships. He's got to at least get those first.
Right.
Top 20s, they really don't mean anything in all reality. You got to start getting conference championships. And that's what we saw with Clemson as well, is that – when did the resurgence of Clemson being on the map, so to speak, happen? It wasn't because of they were finishing in the top 20.
Right.
It was when they were winning at least ACC championships, and that put them in position to go win bowl games, win those bowl games, and then continue building upon that and getting into the college football playoffs.
You know, Gundy was a candidate for the Tennessee job. I mean, if you have your AD saying stuff like that publicly about you, do you think about, you know, maybe this is not the place for me? Maybe.
And what podcast was it on? Did you know
it was not on Rich Take on Sports.
It was not. No. I need to get some salacious guest intel on my podcast so I can use it like that.
The name of this podcast is Pistols Firing.
So it's got to be a local Oklahoma State.
Podcast,
yes.
And Mike Gundy tweeted after this blew up on Twitter yesterday. Mike Gundy tweeted, and he tweeted two emojis. One is a kind of a frowny face, and one is the face of the little emoji scratching its chin.
Oh, the hum? The hmm.
I guess the hmm face. Yeah. He tweeted that. Oh, that's great. That's great.
Hey, at least he's a good sport about it. He's getting engaged and trying to be entertaining with that.
I mean, they finished as high as number three in the nation. They were 12-1 when he was the coach of the year back in 2011. I don't know if I would be messing with my coach publicly if he's doing that well. I don't know if that's the right approach for an AD. You know, I mean, it's a thing fans would do. It's not a thing an AD should do.
Not publicly.
No. I agree.
And even, maybe not even publicly, even you hire a coach to do a certain job, and part of your job as an AD, sometimes you got to step out of the way and entrust that you hired the right person and let them do their job.
Well, he was nervous because he was on the Firing Pistols podcast.
See, if he'd have been on Rich Take on Sports, he could have talked about his journey, and he wouldn't have had to worry about talking about Mike Gundy.
We get to three questions when we come back. Three questions at three, and the Huddle on ESPN Upstate also still to come. Going to hear from John Harbaugh on Lamar Jackson, how he's looking so far as the new draftee of the Baltimore Ravens. That's coming up, too. Stay with us. Third and final hour of the Huddle coming up on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.